the volume.
Okay, back again with a man who was scolding hot and got derailed a little bit by some bad luck in a Cincinnati-Green Bay game, but he's 9-5-1 on the season. Little three for the money. He's known as Stucky. He's a sharp in my eyes. And he's also, you can find him on Thursday, the Action Network podcast, talking gambling every morning on Thursday mornings. The podcast comes out. Stucky, what's happening? Your Kentucky Wildcats, big win. I mean, they're riding high.
Yeah, we might be coming back down to Earth this Saturday, but it's nice while it lasts. And you never know. You have at least hope. It's still a football game played with an oblong ball. So Kentucky's going to need a lot of bounces on Saturday in Athens. But all you can ask for is a shot. So, yeah, it's exciting here.
You beat Florida and LSU back-to-back weeks. You're cooking with house money, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's all house money now.
Okay, let's dive into the National Football League. And let's start with pretty sure they're the only undefeated team in the league, in the Arizona Cardinals, going to Cleveland, who just had a devastating loss at, I almost said the Charger, or at the San Diego, but in L.A. Arizona, I like the Cardinals. You're getting 3 points on the road at Cleveland. How about you?
No, I'm going with the Browns here. I got some 2.5 early in the week. I still like it at three, up to three. We're going to talk about two more. Fading three teams on the road that I think are just getting too much love in the market. I mean, if you look at this Cardinals team, you know, week one, I talked about the Titans. I thought that they were going through some things offensively, a lot of changes. I loved Arizona in that game. I didn't really take too much away from it. Then they go to Jacksonville. You know, they're down 9 late in the third quarter. They beat Minnesota because Minnesota misses a chip shot field goal. Super impressive win against the Rams. All the credit to Arizona. That's just one game. Last week, they get outplayed at home by a undermanned San Fran team playing a rookie quarterback making his first start, and they were the better team statistically in almost every measure. So I don't, this Arizona team's kind of, they're good, but it's fool's gold at 5-0. The team that really could have, I think would have a better shot or better argument at 5-0 is the Browns. I mean, their only two losses are on the road to the Chiefs and Chargers. The Chiefs, they were up double digits in the second half. They botched that punt. Chargers are up double digits in the second half, and the Chargers go like 6 of 6 on fourth down. They have that bad PI call. So the Browns have been super impressive here. And I just think this is a really good matchup for Cleveland against a really suspect Arizona run defense that has just been struggling to defend the run once again this year. And when you look at some of the other factors, take a look at the Cleveland weather report. Looks like 20 to 30 mile an hour winds could be a win game. You know, that is just extremely beneficial to the Browns, who, you know, lead the league in yards per carry and have two of the most dynamic backs in the NFL against a bad run defense. Kyler Murray also dealing with a little bit of a shoulder issue last week. So I'm not sure how much that's going to linger or affect him this week, but it could. And, you know, you have some wind as well. Browns defense playing really well, but I think that their front is going to control this game. No Chandler Jones for Arizona as well. So when Baker Mayfield does have to throw, doesn't have to worry about his pass rushing ability. So I think Cleveland gets this done on the ground and Arizona finally doesn't, you know, steal one of these wins.
Okay, I think you convinced me because you're right. You can run on Arizona, and holy moly, Chubb last week. I mean, he looks right now the best running back in the league. Unreal. And Kareem Hunt is, I mean, they easily have the best 1-2 punch. So I think you convinced me there. Okay, Dallas.
I'll also take that staff. I'll also take the Cleveland staff any day of the week over Arizona's.
And the one thing that throws off, just historically, and this is what the Niners did, even though they lost that game, is when you're physical with the air raid up front. Myles Garrett's the type guy that you can just throw off. I mean, Nick Bosa was all over Kyler last week. And the thing is that makes Kyler so special is he doesn't take a lot of hits when he runs like Lamar, or like you saw last week with Trey Lance, he slides. But if you can catch him behind when he's throwing in the pocket, last year that's where Seattle got him. He's so small, and these, you know, Myles Garrett is, you know, a complete freakazoid. just a sack of Kyler. He gets up sometimes, and you can tell last week, all of a sudden he gets thrown to the ground and he wasn't the same the rest of the game. So that's to me something to keep an eye on too, just big picture with Arizona, because if he gets thrown off, if he goes to, you know, from 100% to, let's say, 75-80%, that is trouble for them, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Joe Woods, the defense coordinator of the Browns, I'm a big fan of. He's familiar with Kyler. Yeah, he was with the Niners in 2019, defensive backs coach, passing game coordinator. So that familiarity there, I think, can pay off here. So yeah, I think the Browns get it done at home.
Okay, Dallas and New England. I'd take New England here, basically just because it feels like everyone will bet Dallas. New England squeaks out a win on the road against Houston. I think people, you know, the masses are going to just think New England's average, which, hell, they might be, but tough environment. Patriots, you know, aren't dead yet, right, at 2-3. So who do you like in this game?
Yeah, I like the Patriots down to 3.5, anything plus 3.5, plus 4. I think the Cowboys are getting a little bit too much love here in the market. I think this line should be under a field goal. Look, their offense is excellent, no matter how you slice it. But the defense is really benefiting from turnovers. And I don't think that they can sustain that level of they lead the NFL in takeaways and just their second in EPA per turnover, second in EPA per net turnover. It's a defense that, and you go think back to that Tampa game, it's not like they were forcing these turnovers. These were balls that were popping into their hands, and that's what kept that game close. This is still a really suspect defense. I mean, Diggs is playing out of his mind at corner, and you have to love the addition of Parsons, but you can still run on this team. They're still not getting a ton of pressure, which is important for Jones when he does need to throw. You know, he's going to have time, and this game will slow down for him. It's important when you're looking at trying to bet a rookie quarterback. I think New England can control the line of scrimmage here, establish a running game against Dallas's run defense. And these are games that Bill Belichick just covers. I mean, he's 28-13-2 against the spread as an underdog since 2003, covering by an average of 6 points per game. That's just under 69%. Home underdog.
A lot of Tom Brady there, though.
That's true. Home underdog. I mean, but look, home underdog since 2015-4 against the spread, 12 outright wins. We saw it against Tom Brady and a Bucs team, you know, a couple weeks ago. New England was 7-point underdogs, and they almost won that game, if not for a questionable field goal decision late. So, you know, I think that there's a big coaching edge here. Special teams, don't be surprised if New England gains an edge in special teams here with a big player too. But mainly, I think Dallas is just a little bit overvalued after four straight wins, three of which came at home, by the way. So now they had three straight at home. Now they're traveling to New England. I think the Patriots find a way here to at least make this a field goal game. Wouldn't be surprised if they pull off this mini upset.
The only thing that would make me nervous here with New England, Stucky, would be clearly they are not, you know, and that Tampa game is a good example, right? They kept in the teens. They lost 19-17 and they were in it right till the end. Four of Dallas's five games, obviously that week one loss, they scored 29. And then the last 3 weeks, 41, 36, 44. Like, Dallas can score. I mean, obviously, for Dallas to lose this game in New England, Belichick, you know, probably a 19 to low 20s type range. Like, they're not going to win if Dallas gets in the high 20s, early 30s, right? So they're just going to have to come down to kind of ugly, muddy it up.
Yeah, I mean, Mac Jones is going to have to make a couple plays here because Dak and that offense are going to score. And I mean, I don't think you can expect to hold this Dallas offense under 20 points. But this Dallas defense, as I said, it's just, if you look at some of the underlying metrics, they're not going to keep getting picks. There's still some holes here. So I think there's going to be some opportunities for New England and Mac Jones to score. So I think New England bounces back from last week's poor showing. I mean, it was an awful spot. It was after that Tampa game with Dallas on deck. So I think Bill will have them focused here. And October, this is Belichick's month. I mean, I call him October Bill. He's 68% against the spread in October. And he's only, I think, 57% combined in all other months. September, the Patriots, even with Brady, they would always work on some things, trying to figure out some things over the first four or five games. And then they kind of find themselves and get rolling. Backing Bill Belichick as a home dog in October, you could do worse things with your money.
Okay. I have a gambling philosophy that anytime a team off a Monday night, either a big win or a big loss, that's a huge emotional toll. And then it's a short week, even if you're playing at home and then the next week's at home. If the team that you're playing the following week is also good, I'm just going to gamble on that team. Now, I don't know if the numbers bear that out, but Chargers this week at the Ravens, obviously incredible win for them, right? Monday night, the emotional high, and they've had several of those this year so far. Kind of feel like they just, eventually just kind of run out of juice in the game, even though I like the Ravens. Chargers, I whether it's 2.5 or 3, whatever book you're looking at, I like the Chargers, getting some points this week on the road. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you here. Look, I'm a Ravens fan. They're my most successful team I bet on. I rarely bet on them. I've only bet on them once this year against the Chiefs. And I was watching that game. They're going to make the playoffs, and I'm a better first.
Yeah.
I was saying, I hope they lose this game. And then it'll, John Harbaugh, that, after a loss at home against a 4-1 Chargers team, they wouldn't have spent all that energy. So I get your point that I think it would have been better if they actually lost that game. So maybe, they spent a lot of energy. Their defense, it's a short week. But Harbaugh is generally, he's one of the better coaches in the league, and he's good at getting his team back up for this game. They will be at home, at least, with what I expect to be a pretty raucous crowd. I just think the Chargers are getting a little bit too much love here after what they've done. Look, Justin Herbert is incredible. He's turning into one of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL. But this Chargers offense, I don't think that they can sustain what they are doing. On third downs, you look at some of their underlying metrics on third downs. You just watched that game last week. It was 3rd and 10, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8. I didn't even get to 4th downs yet. 4th downs, they're 8 for 8 if you remove a fake punt on the season, with an average yards to go of 6.5. Their opponents are only 3 of 8 with an average yards to go of 3. I mean, these are game-changing drives. You get a 4th down here or there. I mean, the difference in those is just massive, and they're flipping games around, as we saw against the Browns last week. And if you look at some of the underlying metrics, early downs are a little more predictive than 3rd downs. Early downs, Ravens offense, number 1 in the league in EPA per play. Chargers bottom 10. Ravens on 3rd down, a little more luck involved and a lot more variance. Ravens are dead last in the league on 3rd down. Success rate, EPA per play. Chargers are obviously right at the top. And 4th down, the same thing. So I think this Ravens offense actually has some positive regression coming its way on 3rd down. And the opposite is true for the Chargers. And I think this is, look, the Ravens have been killing teams on early downs by throwing the ball. Everyone's selling out to run it. The Chargers kind of let you run. They're playing back. They're not giving up anything deep. And I think that you're going to see the vintage Ravens rushing attack come back here, because the Chargers run defense, they do invite you to run, but it's also awful. Their linebackers, their defensive linemen, very underwhelming group. So I think the Ravens can really get going on the ground here. I think you're getting them cheap. I mean, before the season, the projected line for this game, the look-ahead line, was Ravens -6. And I think everyone is really enamored, and rightfully so in some aspect, with what Herbert has done. I'm just not sure this Chargers team could sustain all of this 3rd down and 4th down success throughout the season. That regression monster looms. So if you can get the Ravens under three, I do like them. And one last point. Enormous, enormous special teams advantage here. I mean, I have the Ravens ranked number 1 in the league in special teams, as they usually are every year, by a decent margin. I have the Chargers ranked 32nd, dead last, by a wide margin. They don't have a kicker. And now you're going,
Can Herbert kick?
Yeah, their kicker couldn't kick in college. He's on the team for kickoffs. I don't know why they couldn't find anyone else. He was 60% college, couldn't make extra points in college. And now you're going against the Ravens obviously have the greatest kicker in NFL history, do everything well in special teams. So that is not a lot of people are going to look at that aspect of this game, but there's an enormous special teams edge in this game for the Ravens. And that could make all the difference in the world on the spread of 2.5.
Can I go a bonus game here really quick? The Sunday night game, which to me is kind of fascinating, given that obviously Russell's got out Geno Smith.
Yeah.
But we all thought Pittsburgh really sucked until they got a pretty impressive win against a really good defense. Now, granted, the game was at home against Denver. Is Seattle just going to get their ass kicked? I mean, because that's, I think most people would just be like, you know, Geno Smith, the whole game, the defense, or is it fade the Steelers here?
Yeah, I mean, it's, if you look back at Tomlin historically, he beat the Bills. The Steelers beat the Bills. They look good against the Broncos, and they have the head scratching losses. Tomlin losing this game would fit the mold of what Tomlin does. But it's so, and it's hard for me to back the Steelers at, you know, at -6 with that offense, even though they did look better last week. You would think that Seattle, this is Seattle's, you know, they lose their star player. Everyone is going to come to play. Pete Carroll's pretty good off of a loss. I just don't know how much Geno Smith can give you under pressure in a loud environment. It's going to be tough. He's never been great under pressure in his entire career. And look, this Seattle team, I had them a little above average. And then Russell Wilson always gives you a shot.
Yeah.
Any Sunday. Without him, this is arguably a bottom five team in the league with Geno Smith. The defense is bad. The offensive line isn't great. It's basically hope that a backup quarterback can throw to your really good receivers. That's really the only strong suit of this team now. It's hard for me to make a case for either team here. Seattle 6 is probably maybe fair then to me. Seattle's probably going to give you everything that they have. Everyone is going to show up for this without Russ the first game. It's kind of a star effect. And the Steelers, I just don't want to lay 6 with Tomlin and this offense. So for me, pure stay away.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Seattle feels like, without Russell, like the Cavs without LeBron or Houston Rockets without Harden. You know, it's just they are a basketball team that is predicated on one guy to carry the ship. And when he's gone, you saw it on that Thursday night game last week. It's just they're holding on for dear life.
Yeah, you do see in basketball, a star effect bump, like the first game. Without the star, everyone is max effort, and then you see people, you know, teams overperform right after that next game. You
run out of juice.
Oh my God, we don't have Russ. So they could get a bump from that in the first game, but it's definitely going to be tough in that environment against that defense.
Okay, Stucky, thanks for joining me, and have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Good luck.
See you, buddy.
Volume.